everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with the bonus episode. With me, as always, my teenage son, Jackson. Say hello, Jack.
I had a taco.
You did? Burrito, yeah, we left the house
Taco
like
Bell, whatever thing.
We left the house like normal people. It was kind of weird. Went out, got different takeout from different places, went and ate it in a park outside because you can't still eat in restaurants where we live. And then went and got ice cream after through a place that has drive-through ice cream. So that's legal too.
Kawartha.
And then we came home and decided we enjoyed a wrestling show last night, so we should maybe come down and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Backlash, we just were like, okay, let's just, I guess.
Yeah, Backlash, we're like, we'll get around to it when we get around to it. But this one we...
Right, because people seem to like the pay-per-view one. So
they do.
And this one where it's just like, this was actually good.
Yeah, and I'm kind of excited to talk about it. So I thought we would do that. We should probably get right into it, don't you think? Because it might take us a while, and I want to get in that pool when we're done.
Sure.
All right, so let's talk about...
Yeah, our pool sucks.
Double or Nothing 2021 from AEW.
So third installment of the pay-per-view.
I did watch most of the buy-in. You were still gaming, I think, so you missed this. The only thing I really want to talk about was the match that was on the buy-in, which was Serena Deeb versus Riho for the NWA Women's Championship. And in this match, Serena Deeb defeated Riho by submission after slamming Riho's knee repeatedly into the mat and applying her finishing submission. Do you remember the name
Serenity
of it?
Serenity Lock.
Thank you. And she...
I know the Usos used to call it, it just was called Tequila Sunrise, but
right.
she calls it
And she Serenity got it in Lock. So deep that Riho's leg was back so far that her foot...
Yeah, Riho's a freaking midget, so she can probably just, like, bend back like
her
that.
Her foot was touching the back of her head, so it looked pretty awesome. Interesting things, Deeb worked as a heel in this match. Remember, I noticed even on Dynamite, she was more aggressive in her last match, and
I feel like that helps her, and two, I feel like she is kind of working to pretty babyface people.
Well, if you're
like
working
Red
Riho,
Velvet
what are you going to do?
Right?
Yeah. So she looked really good. A ton of submissions because she's the woman of 1,000 holes, like holds, sort of like Dean Malenko was. So she looked really good here, man. And full marks for both of them working because at this point in the day, the sun was still shining on the ring almost entirely. So I can't imagine. It must have been crazy hot. So I thought it was actually a terrific match. I've come around fully on Deeb. She was fantastic here.
Yeah, she's just kind of the person who doesn't have much character but can wrestle. So,
yeah.
Which I think that's fine.
Like, and she did a really good job as an intense heel here, and I wasn't sure coming into it if she could pull it off or not, but she was really good. It was so good, in fact, that my wife, your mother, kind of stuck around and sat on the couch and watched this whole match before she left, so that's a pretty good sign. I honestly thought...
That's a feather in their cap.
I thought this was an excellent match and good enough to be on the main show, to be perfectly honest with you.
In replacement of...
Other things that we'll get to. So yeah, we'll get into the actual card on the main show now. So we're going to sort of break it up. Jack did a few matches. I did a few matches. So the opener is Hangman Adam Page versus Brian Cage. And that's one that you sort of took some notes on. So go ahead and
yeah,
let us know.
So Hangman got the win in a short and pretty action-packed opener. It was 12 minutes.
Yes.
Highlights include a crucifix bomb by Hangman and a lot of Cage stuff here as he suplexed Page like... Rather than outside in, it's inside out onto the stage, which is pretty cool.
It was.
Cage, he avoided a buckshot, and he hit a German suplex, and he did a powerbomb and a buckle bomb before Page got a jackknife pin for two to avoid a third powerbomb. Cage got a discus lariat and a spinning liger bomb, which is a sit-up powerbomb
looked
for
awesome.
Two.
Looked awesome, yeah.
Which looked awesome, yes. Oh, and Hangman hit an F5, which is pretty cool.
He did, that's right.
And the match came to an end when Starks and Hook tried to get Cage to cheat with the FTW title, but Cage kind of denied that, and then he ate a buckshot, which got Hangman the win.
Right, so it's sort of furthering that story that Cage is part of Team Taz, but seems to have some, like, babyface leanings.
I prefer Cage's heel. I mean, could be an interesting storyline, but
I
feel like he works... I liked it when it was just him and Taz.
It was the idea that he thought he could beat Hangman without any help from anybody else, and they sort of helped anyways, and he didn't want the help, and then it led to the finish of the match.
He probably could have, honestly.
I thought this was a fantastic opener. Like, talk about just your fun, really quick, really hard-hitting opener. Fun overall. Like, Cage continued. He looked like a beast in this. Some of his power moves are just crazy. So he looks really strong in defeat here. And Hangman is just a phenomenal professional wrestler. I don't know what else to say. He's never disappointed me since AEW has started. As we expected, right? He gets his win back here, and I think that's the right move.
I would like to get a rubber match.
And honestly, after coming off of the buy-in match and then this match, I was super hyped for this because this, I thought these two matches, this match was really, really good. Exactly what I'm looking for in an opener. I really liked it. You?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great match, an absolute perfect choice for an opener. It's what you want, really. It's just like short, action-packed, and it was a crowd hype match. I guess that's something I didn't say about the buy-in match.
The crowd was so hype, obviously, right? They're in at a pay-per-view. It was the first match, so the crowd was crazy into
it. Yeah, and so this really got the crowd hyped. Cage, I thought, had some great offense. Paige also got a good win. I thought this was a great way to open the pay-per-view. Nothing wrong with this.
Yeah, I was. This really got my energy up because this is, you know, we're settling in for a four-hour pay-per-view here. We're going to be looking at a midnight, and this sort of got me energy up. This match was awesome, I thought.
For sure. Next, we got the Young Bucks versus Mox and Kingston for the tag titles.
Right.
And the Bucks did retain in a terrific match after hitting. So they hit Mox with BTE trigger, and they just kept like hitting it. They just like
over
spammed
and over.
It over and over and over.
And they just sort of are holding Mox's arms, so they're holding
they
him up and just repeating
him
it
over and over and over.
Probably more than they needed to, which I guess was kind of the point, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I like some highlights were like Matt mocking the hot tag again and hitting a fired up flurry, which
was
pretty funny.
At one point, what was it? Kingston didn't really know quite what was going on, and Matt jumped into his corner like he was Mox.
After taking out Mox,
yeah,
it was
so
really
that
funny.
Kingston looked like he was about to tag in Matt. Matt was really, really like super heely here, right? And this match, like over the top.
Yeah, he tends to do that now.
It didn't bother me. I'm just some people won't like it.
Mox was on fire after he got an actual hot tag from Kingston. He hit a double DDT on the Bucks, which was sold. I thought. Awesome.
Yeah, it looked like they took it straight vertical.
And like at the exact same time almost. Matt got a pretty good near fall with spraying Mox with cold spray and hitting him with the bottle, which busted him open.
Right.
Bucks hit a Meltzer driver on the ramp to Mox, which is pretty cool.
It's not my favorite. It never looks like Nick's adding that much. I mean, it's cool in theory, but it's really just the pile
I think
driver.
It looks better when he's doing it in the ring when he kind of like gets a 450 and comes down.
When he actually...
This one was, I would agree, a little.
He was not assisting
much,
but it's still cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Repeated, they did just kind of kicking Mox back and forth.
Yes.
A shoe-assisted doomsday device by Mox and Kingston was pretty awesome.
Right, so the $15,000 Dior Jordans came back into play that Mox and Kingston had stolen from them, right?
Very super kicks by the Bucks, and in particular where they faked one on Kingston, and then... like he got his hands up, they kicked him in the leg and then just kicked him in the face anyways.
Yes, it was cool.
Which I thought was really funny. Double super kicks to both Mox and Kingston, and the BTA trigger got them the win, obviously. Thoughts?
Wow was my first comment. Like, what a match and what a way to just continue the energy of this show, I thought. Three awesome matches, including the buy-in right away. This match built as it went along, right? Which a lot of great matches that get a lot of time do. And I'm sure there's many people that are going to complain. I've actually seen some people already about the lack of rules being followed. What's the point of having a ref if they're never going to enforce the five count or anything? I don't know. It doesn't.
Yeah, but it's ref leans. You just, I don't know, let them go
sometimes. If this is what I get out of it, then fine. Have the refs, like, this was super fun and an amazing match.
Right,
so it doesn't
bother me. I
feel
like the people who are going to be complaining about that would be the same people saying Sting did amazing.
And if you repeatedly have an issue with that, I'm not sure why you're watching AEW. Because
at
this point,
you're going to have to just deal with
it. You either have to accept it or watch something else. Like I said, Matt was fully embracing being a heel here. At some point, I just found myself captivated by this match. Say whatever you like about the Bucks. I don't even think I want to like the Bucks, but every single time they deliver, right? Like, every match is good.
Right, because I feel like sometimes, like, I don't know, they're kind of Cody-esque, but then, like, their matches are so good.
It's too good. So I'm happy with the result, too. I just think the experience, like, actual
I
tag team should win here.
I think the result could have gone either way, and I was fine either way, because I think I like both teams.
I don't think, A, Mox and Kingston need the belts to be entertaining, and B, they need to gain some more experience as a tag team and exposure, too.
And if that means they have to give this another go, that's fine.
But an awesome match for sure.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought this was awesome, an absolute tag team clinic. Bucks were great playing the heels, especially Matt. I love his mockery of the hot tag. I find that amusing every time.
And that's the difference. You just said they're kind of like Cody, and I agree, but they're heels, so it's awesome, right?
Right.
Whereas
and
if Cody
then their matches are awesome.
If Cody just turns heel, I'll be fine.
If he just embraced being a prick, then he would be fine.
Yeah, so that's the difference. The Bucks are heels, and it works.
And Omega, to be fair.
They are hateable dudes.
Right. Mox had a great flurry off of the hot tag. Bucks just, they always nail their super kicks, let's be honest. There's a reason they made the super kick party their thing.
Yep.
Colts brace ball was a great near fall. Melter driver on the stage was cool. The Doomsday device was awesome. And I like that the Bucks really had to, like, spam the BTE trigger to beat Mox.
Yes,
I think
they did.
Whether
they had to or they chose to, either way, it's cool.
I feel like they might have had to. I mean, Mox did, he was dominant pretty much the whole
Yeah, and he's year. Known for never dying, right?
So. Right. So I thought that was a good way to make him still look kind of good in defeat.
Yeah, so this
great match, good result.
That pay-per-view is just killing it to this point for me.
Right. And then we got the Casino Battle Royale. Some highlights were Penta dressing as the Joker. And, like, damn, that man will never not look
Yeah,
cool.
He had a pretty standout gear.
It was just, it was so wild. And he even had, like, just white paint with the red kind of smile, like, yep. Just like Joker-esque paint, and he had, like, the cards on the back of Ceremony. It looked so crazy, but, like, he still looked awesome. Like,
that was something, like, we didn't mention about the Bucks gear. It was making me laugh how it was
labeled.
Oh,
yeah, they had, like,
the pocket had, like, says pocket on
right,
it.
Right, it says pockets, and, like, there was something else there that was funny.
Yeah, they were funny.
Yeah, that was funny. And then, so the actual Joker entrance was Leo Rush, which I think is cool. They kind of wasted it here. Like, he didn't really do much.
I agree.
So I would have liked something more
normal.
Part
of my comments, yeah.
But I think he'll be cool here. I just wish he could have gotten maybe a better debut, because I like him.
Do
right?
you know, like, is he signed? It wasn't just
I
assume,
know.
But
I would
I don't
assume
know.
So.
Yeah.
If he is, that would be cool. I would
He's
like
good.
Him, and I would think that would even give them more reason to get some sort of, like, cruiserweight
nope.
division in
no
there. Why not? It
no
would be
weight
good.
Class belts no
why not
because it eliminates people from it and I don't
so
it just
what?
Bugs me so then you're stuck with guys of a certain weight I don't
so?
Know I don't like it I don't like it
they could go back and forth
no want
well then what would your solution be
we don't need another belt there's
why
plenty
not?
Of belts if you
no,
want then
not.
Go a trios or
I don't know I would think they need some sort of other mid-card belt
I don't think so I think they're good
Well,
Anyways.
Then you make the TNT title a television title, right? And then it's not on pay-per-views, then I think you bring in another title. So that there's something else on pay-per-views.
I like limited titles, personally. They mean
well,
more
it
when there's only
limited,
a couple.
It would still be limited, but there's just, I don't know, there's not enough.
I don't want any more. I
you
think
say
there's
they
enough.
Literally have too many people, and they only have, like, one, two
I don't
titles.
Think they need more titles. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I don't like 1,000 titles, because then they don't
they
really mean very much.
Titles.
Anyways, it's a topic for another day, I think.
Jungle Boy won Last Woman and Christian Cage by ironically outworking him.
It's impossible.
He swung around the post, and then he kind of did, like, a backdrop.
That was really cool. It was like parkour kind of deal.
Yeah, and I find it really funny. That
well, and it's one of those things, too, that, like, if he doesn't do that perfectly, he's going to be eliminated, right? Like, if he slips and falls.
And we were saying, because Christian was outside the ring for a lot, like, outworking people could be, like...
Outworking meant,
like,
hiding outside the ring for 12
right,
minutes or whatever
well,
it was.
Like, out, like, working instead of out shooting.
Right. Like, which, out... Work as an opposite of shoot, like a yeah,
like a fake, like oh,
it's too meta.
People.
Now my brain's exploding. but I thought this was the first lull in the action for me. There was also a few replacements, right, among the entrants of this match, and
right,
no,
Grayson wasn't here.
I don't think any
Blade.
Explanation was given. I didn't hear any anyway. So,
and if they were gonna replace people, I wish they would have chosen better replacements. Maybe made this more interesting. At
I
least.
Just also think so few people were actually believable as potential winners. I didn't think there were any giant high spots that stood out.
Right, and you made the note that, like, the eliminations were fairly standard.
All of the eliminations
right?
were really basic, just, like, barely falls over onto
right,
the apron
and I just
and
thought
the
there
ground.
Wasn't enough action between the eliminations as well, right? Like,
yeah, I agree.
Was just,
there wasn't much
I don't
going
know.
On.
I find, like, you even find more stuff in your average Royal Rumble.
Yep. It's the day after the show, obviously. I'm struggling to remember any major things from it. I do remember the caster rap on the way in being cool.
Oh, yeah. That was
awesome. I did think that Seidel's early elimination might have been an accident and that maybe he was supposed to hold on and stay in a bit longer because it seemed quick.
My favorite part was Penta just being there.
Yeah. Rush was a cool surprise and he's honestly a pretty
yeah,
awesome wrestler. But I think a lot of the fans had gotten their hopes up for a bigger name than that.
I for sure did. I was so surprised. I was like, oh, cool, Leo Rush. Like, that's cool.
He looked really quick, but he didn't last very long in the match, right? For making his debut.
Yeah.
It was kind of an odd choice, I thought. I'm not a fan of the way this match is organized in general with the four suits and all the people coming out at once. I think they need to do something to sort of freshen it up. I am happy to see Jungle Boy win. I feel like this is them sort of giving him a trial run. Close or at the main event to see how he does.
I don't know if he will. Like, he's good. I don't know if he will.
They maybe. Just have plans for the future, right? This is like, let's put him there for a second and see how it goes.
I really want him and Luchasaurus to be tag champs. I think they're just so awesome.
It gives him a little bit of experience, right? I don't think he's going to win or stay at the top of the card. No, this is a way for them to provide him with, like, an opportunity, and, right?
Kind of stall Omega.
Yeah.
For Hangman.
I feel this could have been a bit shorter. It was a stacked card and a lengthy pay-per-view. But I guess it got lots of talent on the show. I don't think it was a bad Battle Royal. I just didn't love it.
I'm wondering if they have, like...
Because there was some memorable stuff from last year's, right? And this year, I don't think next year I'll remember anything from this
match,
probably.
They could do another title for when they introduce Rampage. Yeah. Like, maybe not exclusive, but just because, like, I feel like the roster and expansion shows, but I don't know. Anyways.
So I don't think this was a bad match. It suffers a bit from following the ones before it, to be honest. Right.
Other than the final elimination, I think most eliminations were pretty basic.
They were.
Most of people being knocked off the apron or thrown over the top rope normally. I'm pretty pleased with the result, though. The Joker entrance was cool enough. Like, not quite what you were expecting, but not, like, a disappointment either, right. I don't think.
No.
Necessarily. And Penta looked cool. And Christian didn't win, so.
You're happy.
Yeah.
Yep. We then got a brief segment to honor the military because it's Memorial Day in the United States. And then, of course, yeah, they're going to springboard off of that right into the match with the American Dream for tonight.
Cody Rhodes versus Anthony Ogogo.
Right. Versus Anthony Ogogo with QT Marshall. Arn Anderson's with Cody. So Cody wins this, of course, as if there was any other outcome possible. An 11-minute match.
It's like the
worst
vertebraker I've ever seen.
With a vertebraker. We had Rhodes got a gut punch early and he had to sell it the entire match because, as we
and
all know...
he almost died... But Cody, he's a soldier, man. He powered through on this one.
So, of course, he's selling that the whole time because Ogogo has the most powerful body punches ever. Ogogo hit an Olympic slam along the way. QT got involved at one point and Arn had to chase him away. Ogogo was bleeding by the end of this. He hit a frog splash and then Cody hit a vertebraker to end it. What did you think?
I wasn't expecting much. Didn't get much either. Ogogo looked fine. He did pretty standard stuff, though. I guess about as good. Like, I think he did the bare minimum of what I would have expected.
Yeah.
Like, he did frog splash, which was okay, and Olympic slam, which was fine. So, yeah, he was fine. Cody did his usual crap, and they really didn't do Ogogo any favors by having him lose clean to a vertebraker, which...
I didn't think it looked that bad. I mean,
I think
hated
he just took to the... He took it to the back, which I think makes it kind of lose some of his impact. I think he should take it higher up. Like, obviously not make it dangerous.
I think that's exactly what he was trying to avoid, probably.
Right, but I think, I don't know, it should look... I feel like vertebraker is supposed to look better than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so, I don't know, this wasn't great. I didn't love it. The build-up was awful, especially if you watched our flagship show, you would know.
Yeah.
This wasn't great. I don't think this really belonged on a pay-per-view card. This was a Dynamite match at best, I think. Least favorite match on the show for sure.
Yeah, I also wasn't expecting much from this. Ogogo's not an experienced wrestler. I also couldn't stand the build to this. A couple of the promotional whatevers, just I would have changed the channel if I weren't reviewing it for people. I thought Ogogo looked pretty good here, probably better than you think he did, considering he's done almost no moves since being in AEW. He hit some cool high-impact moves, right? Various suplexes and things like that. I didn't see him string a lot of things together, obviously, yet at this point. Maybe he's not quite ready. It was just kind of the odd, impressive move here and there. I think he has good heel charisma, though. But this match basically, for me, feels like a heel versus heel match, right? Because Cody's not a babyface.
Yeah,
or I don't
a
care
heel versus a miscast babyface.
The crowd's lack of energy and interest was clear here. And I'm not trying to be pile on Cody.
I don't blame them.
I even pointed it out to Jack while we were watching him. I look at the crowd now compared to the matches before this. It was a stark contrast to the buy-in match and the matches before this one for sure.
No, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't have cared either.
I don't think this needed to be, nor does it really belong on a major pay-per-view. They only have four a year, right? But who could possibly tell Cody that he can't have a match on the pay-per-view?
Right. And if he insists on having a match, do a good one.
I'm sure he thought he was making a star here, and Ogogo did impress me somewhat, but compared to the opener and the Bucks match, this just looked weak, right?
This would have been like, I don't think I did, but this would be your bathroom break match.
Yeah.
Like,
on the plus side, it was the shortest match to this point at just under 11 minutes. So not great, but was kind of short for a pay-per-view.
At least it was short.
We then move into the TNT Championship match, which is sort of the newly crowned Miro versus Lance Archer in what I would call a hoss fight, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And Miro does end up retaining the title in this a 10-minute, just a slugfest. ended when Archer passed out to the game over submission hold. Some notable stuff along the way. Right away, Archer dove over the top onto Miro to begin the match. He also put Miro through a table on the outside with a spine buster at one point. Miro got Archer with a belly-to-belly suplex, like over the barricade onto some fans, obviously planted wrestlers, I assume. Archer went for a moonsault off the top at one point, but Miro moved and kicked him in the head that I thought looked pretty good. Jake Roberts, of course, gets involved on behalf of Archer, and he brings a bag to the ring similar to, obviously, we're supposed to believe there's a snake in there. Miro hits a super kick to Archer, and then he grabs the bag and throws it pretty far up the ramp, right?
To the point where I wonder if, like, there's obviously a fake snake.
Obviously they no didn't, snake in there. There didn't no chance.
I was anticipating, like, someone switches it out because they were going to use it, but they didn't.
No. Obviously no snake in the bag, just him chucking it up the ramp.
Which was amazing, yes.
At one point, Miro kicks the middle rope while Archer sort of between the ropes to crotch him and then suplexes him back into the ring, what I thought looked good. The Machka kick, whatever he's calling it now, looked awesome. And then the game over hooked in and the match was over. What did you think?
I think it was a good and short Hoss fight. I wasn't expecting too much, oddly. Just, I don't know. I think we both were just kind of like...
Just, there was a weird feel to Archer like, leading into
right,
this.
Right, like, I just feel like he's been kind of miscast. So I just feel like his kind of... His cool factor, I don't know, whatever. He just feels like diminished. I don't know.
He's and it's
not
weird because he's cutting better promos as a babyface, but I don't like him as a babyface, right?
And so
I don't
think he's... So it's kind of like give and take.
Yeah.
But it did beat my expectations because they admittedly weren't that high. Solid action, pretty good action pack, 10 minutes. Only complaint is I think Miro could have defended it in a better match with someone else. No right. offense to Lance Archer, just this isn't really his time. And Lance Archer just, he really does feel miscast as babyface. Just, even like his theme's literally everybody dies. How does a babyface have a theme where it says everybody dies?
It almost feels like they wanted him to face Miro, so they forced him to be a baby. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they just shoehorned it in there somehow.
No, they wanted him to be...
Didn't work for me.
They wanted to align him with Sting.
I was entertained by this match. I think it was the perfect length. I would have liked it more if it were at all believable that Archer could win, because I don't think it was here for even a second. But it was definitely a hard-hitting match. Had a couple of really cool spots going through tables and over barricades and stuff. So a lot of the stuff outside the ring I thought looked pretty good. And at the end of the day, Miro looks like a dominant champion here, which I think he needs to. He adds a quality win to his reign. It was a solid big band match. I wasn't blown away, but I did like the match.
Mm-hmm.
That leads us then into the AEW Women's Championship match, which is Hikaru Shida, who's been reigning for over a year now, right? And just got an upgraded belt.
Yep.
Versus the challenging Britt Baker DMD with Rebel by her side, as always, with her crutch. So Baker, why did I put retains her title? She definitely didn't retain, but she won the title.
Yay!
A really highly competitive, lengthy match. She made Shida tap out to her lockjaw submission after about 17 minutes. Some notable stuff along the way. Right away, we get battling Let's Go Shida and DMD chants, which I thought was nice to hear. Just having a crowd, let alone a really hot crowd that was participating a lot, was cool to see.
And people like Baker.
Yes, they love her. They love both of these, I think. Shida went for her running attack off a chair, as she does, but Baker avoided it. And then Shida hit a diving attack off the turnbuckles onto Baker and Reba on the floor. Britt called for the glove at one point, as she does from Reba, and it was a fancy new one, I guess, right, for the pay-per-view. It was more than just the usual rubber glove she gets out. Shida at one point hit a nice fisherman's neck breaker that I liked. She hit a superplex as well. Britt took an accidental crutch shot from Rebel at one point, and Reba. That led to Falcon's arrow, which I thought looked good by Shida as well. Rebel eventually gets kicked out of the match for all of her involvement, and we get a curb stomp on the title by Baker as well, somewhere near the end of it. What did you think of this match with Baker finally getting her championship?
Yeah, so it started kind of slow, but picked up. I feel like good matches usually do kind of start slow,
yep.
And they build and build. That's usually how it goes, and that's a good thing. It was good thoroughly, definitely a climax towards the end, and they picked the right result for sure. Both did great here. I feel like they could have shifted into a bit of a higher gear. But overall, great match and good for Baker for finally getting the big win.
It was tough because I think Baker was really emotional after winning, but she's a heel, so she kind of had to like not she can't cry or whatever, right? She has to look like her right. character would. So I think that was a struggle. I thought this match as well. I have the same thing. It started out slowly. By the end, I was pretty into it. Both of these women worked really hard, There were some cool near falls for each of them. Obviously, well, not obviously. For me, it was nowhere near as good as the Baker Thunder Rosa bloodbath from television.
Yeah, but I feel like those are two very different kind of matches.
But more comparable, if I'm being totally honest, I might have enjoyed the women's match on the buy-in just as much as this one, which is surprising, but I highly recommend that match. Regardless, this was a division that was a glaring weakness, right? When this company started, it's now so much stronger.
Right.
And we've got the face of the division in place. They've built.
That shows how good this company is at improving things. Like,
yes.
I remember the Dark Order being like, everybody hated them.
Yep.
And they've improved tenfold. Like, I think anything where there's a complaint raised, like, usually they're good at fixing.
They
like,
deal
Nightmare
with it.
Collective got booted.
Well, right, and when this division started, Britt sucked, frankly, right?
Britt did suck.
And now she's a mate. They've built her into,
right,
the face
dentist
of this division.
Gimmick, like, the real-life credits of that or whatever, like, it really lends itself so well to, like, a heel character.
She just embraced being a heel, and she's smart,
right,
and she's funny, and she's works her butt off. So, I obviously don't know what the plans are, but I would love to see in the future a Tay Conti Baker match they could build to, because what a babyface she is and a super heel. So I'd love to see that. But I thought this was another good match on this show, a notch below the Cage Page and the Bucks tag team match for me. But I thought this was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
We then get a video package showing Darby Allin out somewhere with his skateboard. And then Sting's driving around in a car with his face paint on, of course. Allin gets into the car and they're on their way to the building.
How dare you think Sting would not wear his face paint?
Sting just says to Darby Allin, it's showtime. And that leads us into their match, which is Sting and Darby Allin versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And I didn't put it in my notes, but we get singlet Sting, right?
Yeah.
He sheds the t-shirt and Jack was quickly like, put it back on.
Yeah, like,
he's 61, man. Give him a break. He looks good.
Which is
I think
he shouldn't have done that, because he's friggin' 60 or whatever. Like,
anyways.
I don't know. I feel like the shirt makes him look like, I don't know, like, kind of old, because I feel like he's just wearing, like, a sweater or whatever. But, like, this shows that he's actually old,
he
I think.
He is actually old. So Sting and Darby Allin, no surprise, win a fairly competitive match when Sting hits the Scorpion Death Drop. Unfortunately, that's enough to pin Scorpio Sky after a 12.5-minute match. Notable stuff. Before the match even started, there was a whole bunch going on. Allin got to ringside, dove on to Page while Sting was battling with Sky. Sky hit a suplex to Sting on the stage, which was a bit surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But Sting, of course, got right back up, tossed Sky off of the sort of prop stacked poker chips that were part of the ringside set. And then Sting dives, quote unquote, jumps on to the heels on the floor from the chips. Other things, Sky hit his slingshot cutter on Darby Allin that I always think looks good.
Yeah, he kind of, like, flips over instead of just, like, kind of just going over.
Yeah. The ref, I think, was Aubrey, right? She missed at one point a tag by Allin to Sting.
Well, I saw that she actually did see it.
And so this leads to Darby taking more of a beating. I thought it was a bit odd because Sting did not protest this missed call at all. He just, like, walked over to the corner and took his spot. Like, I guess, what are you going to do? But normally they protest a little bit, right? Because they did definitely make a tag. Page picked up Allin over his head at one point and press slammed him from the ring over the top rope, over the barricade, and into the front row, apparently.
Didn't he, like, ego edge him, I thought it was? Or, I don't know.
Apparently, he landed on his two brothers that were sitting at ringside. No, I think it was just a gorilla press. I don't think it was...
So I saw that he caught his leg on the barricade. So
I think he just gorilla pressed
edge.
Him. I could be wrong. Sting sort of hit a code red, I guess. Page and Allin were both locked in submissions, but close enough to sort of gouge each other's eyes at one point. Sky went for a cutter, but Sting held the ropes, and then Sting hit his Scorpion Death Drop for the win. What did you think, Jack?
This was fine and better for the parts where Darby was facing either Paige or Sky, because, well, none of them are supposedly retired old men going for last hurrah.
Such an ageist.
He sucks. Sting was about as good as you could ask for, but like you said, he's good for his age, but not for any age.
Right.
And I guess he was good for his age and as good as you could expect, but that doesn't mean in the slightest he should have been here at all. Sky and Paige being undefeated going in this match makes this suck even more, because their streak is ruined for no reason, just to get a Sting, old man Sting, a win. he doesn't need it at all. He should be retired. He shouldn't even be here. And Sting looked really old in the singlet. Overall, fine, I guess. But the only reason it's not the worst is because of Cody and Agogo. And I don't know. It was just a loss for the sake of a loss. Like, I don't know. They didn't need to lose.
Sting's not losing yet. I told you.
Yeah, I know. But he shouldn't even be in the position where he should be winning or losing. He should be not here.
I thought this match was all right. Maybe even pretty good at times. I can't say I really liked it that much. Some of the moves from Paige and Sky looked pretty sweet. The stunner, the toss of Allen over the barricade. But this could have easily been an episode of Dynamite, I think. I don't think it needed to be on this show that was quite lengthy already. And I'm sure people are going to rave about Sting's performance here. And he did fine. Honestly, he did. But really, does he need to be taking time on a pay-per-view away from some younger, more interesting wrestler? That's my thing. I don't want to see what I saw 30, 35 years ago. I want to see what's next.
Right.
Who's the next star?
I don't even
star?
Think you're getting what you saw all those years ago with this Sting.
And I know it's only one spot in one match on the card, but still, I don't need to see Sting wrestle in 2021. That's just me, I guess, and you, sounds like.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong and he does great ratings. In that case, they're going to keep using him, I guess.
I think it's just for nostalgia.
I really like Paige and Sky together. It sucks that they had to take the loss here. And I think people are just going to be lining up to lose to Sting for a while until there's some reason to put somebody over him, because I don't see him losing anytime soon. So next, we're talking about the penultimate match on this show, which was they don't call it triple threat, do they? What do they call it?
I don't know. Three-way, I guess.
For the AEW...
I'll just call it triple threat.
It's not. That's WWE verbiage. So the AEW World Championship match, Kenny Omega with Don Callis versus Pac versus Orange Cassidy. And not a surprise to me or you, I don't think. Kenny Omega retains this title. Really entertaining match. He hit Pac with multiple belt shots and then hit a crucifix pin to Cassidy in just after 27 minutes. Some notable stuff. I gasped, I think, when the huge midair collision between Pac and Omega.
Oh, yeah, towards the beginning.
Both going for running cross bodies
right,
near
yeah,
the beginning.
Yeah, they really ran into it.
Cassidy hit a double Hurricanrana that's kind of cool. Pac hit a moonsault off the ropes onto Omega at one point. Omega hit a rolling senton on Pac right into a backstabber on Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Nice combo. Omega and Cassidy exchanged multiple pin attempts. And remember, one of them was bridging out from the other person, and Pac broke it up with his
450. I was hoping for a black arrow on that.
That looked really nice.
That would
have been way
too cool.
Lots of snapdragons, lots of V-triggers. We got hands in pockets, dives and stuff by Cassidy. We got a really nice tiger driver by Omega to Cassidy that looked cool. A really nasty looking brain buster by Pac to Cassidy at one point that I loved. Tons of orange punches to everybody for near falls during this one. What did you think of the match?
It started slow like any good match does. But once these guys got going, they sure went for it.
They did.
There's a ton going on. All three of them got great offense in. I think when you put three top talents into this, whether you think Cassie's going to stay in the main event, he's good in the ring is what
he's
I mean.
He's good. Yeah.
Right?
So he's not. I don't think he's on the level of
right.
the other two, but he's
but
good.
But when you put three good in-ring wrestlers in the ring together, you're going to get something good. And I like that instead of being Pac with one belt repeatedly, Omega decided to just hit him with
each
belt
them.
One by one, which I thought was pretty funny. And he has four belts, so that's just four. He's callous chucking.
It was good. It was entertaining.
The action was fast and furious. Even the lulls weren't that bad. Overall, a great first three-way match for AEW.
They really haven't done any, right?
They really haven't. Yeah, I think they did a few multi-man person matches and their first events or whatever, but one, those weren't for major titles. Two, that was they just kind of did whatever in that
right
stage.
I thought same thing. This match started off slowly, but it got a ton of time, so it kind of needed to. By the end, I thought this was an excellent match, and I may be biased, I probably am, but I thought Pac looked like the biggest star of the three here. He did the most stuff that I was super impressed with. Everybody looked good. I never bought any of the near falls entirely, unfortunately, but there were some really good ones included.
I think that's just we all know what's going to be Omega's downfall.
There was so much going on in this match. There were never really any breaks once it got going after a bit of a slow start. I thought Kenny and Pac especially looked really crisp, and Pac is just so insanely quick. Orange Cassidy proved he can hang. I don't think he's quite at their level, but he did really well. And
I think he'll be a somewhat credible challenger. I feel like he'd be a good mid-card champion, and then a credible challenger.
More his character that for me that character is not.
Yeah.
That's just me being an old man probably, but that whole comedy, lazy hands, that's not a champion of your company character, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. You got to have other people, but...
I think he'll stay at least around the...
Yeah, so I thought this was a really good match. I thought, it's funny, it's a good thing you helped me with these notes, because what was the pay-per-view for Impact where I gapped on like three matches? I almost completely forgot about Stadium Stampede. I thought we were done and ready to go, and Jack's like, are we going to do, am I doing Stadium Stampede? I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. So
you almost did it again.
I did. I would have left out Stadium Stampede. I am kind of old. And I know how you hate old people like Sting.
Old people when they're invading wrestling companies who don't need old people wrestling.
Yes. All right. So you tell us about Stadium Stampede since I forgot it existed for a minute there.
That's not cool.
So go ahead.
We got Stadium Stampede, Inner Circle, Pinnacle. And the Inner Circle one was an all-over-the-place brawl throughout the stadium.
Definitely was.
Ended up in Daly's place.
Yep.
Inner Circle entered on zip lines, which was...
lame.
Questionable.
Not zip lines. They were, like rappelling down the whatever.
I don't know. I didn't know what to call it.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Highlights include a top rope cutter by Guevara on Spears in the ring, like the stadium.
Yeah, so
ring.
They kind of went to the ring right away. Though it's like everybody sort of paired off, right? And Spears
which they did do in the last one, but I feel like they also were kind of like intertwined.
It
as
felt
well.
More forced this time, right?
Right. This one just felt like the top guys paired off, the mid carders paired
right.
off, the big guys
right.
paired off, the tag teams paired off, and like I feel like none of them were really like intertwined, like
no.
as if you like this one really felt like I know you said this like that they were filmed at the same time, just like. Smushed together
and then smashed them together
right
later.
And like you had the one part where Spears was like looking for other guys
right
and then he got chased off by the Inner Circle Motorcycle Club as if that's a thing
right
and then like I don't know because like the last one I can't think of anything specifically but they're at least intertwined like I feel like Omega and Matt Hardy probably chased Sammy with the
but
golf
I don't know there
again.
Was just stuff like Matt Hardy reincarnating was funny
right
and
he like stuffed one of the it was either Santana or Ortiz in like the ice thing
and Matt Buck doing the
the Northern Lights suplexes
Matt
across
yeah the hole down the field
or like Sammy's running from
getting
Hangman
hit
on the
by
horse.
The golf cart like there
or,
was so many things
oh when Hangman and Hager met up in the bar and were like almost
right.
coexisting
they tried to remake that with this one being in the club a little bit anyways
right.
talk about this
but,
year's
so after that we got Jericho and MJF they were fighting around the office area. And the biggest part of that was MJF getting sent through the glass of a door.
Yeah, and I think the coach of the
football
team was there as well.
Were there.
Sportball.
Sportball, yeah, sure.
Sportball stuff.
Hager and Wardlow brawled in a walk-in freezer.
They did.
Partially. Spears and Guevara battled in a room with chairs.
Because he's the chairman,
yeah,
I guess.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Proud and Powerful and FTR battled in a nightclub with Conan as DJ, which I think was the best part and my favorite. Cash Wheeler just whipping
yeah, that looked
beer
pretty nuts.
Bottles at Ortiz.
Yep, and smash, hitting with everyone,
right,
too.
Right,
yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Yep.
Hager chokeslammed Wardlow through like a...
Stack
it was like
of
a thing
stuff?
In like
know.
A wood pallet stack or
yeah.
I don't, it was a stack thing.
Yeah, it looked okay.
Jericho and MJF brawled in the Daly's Place crowd. Spears and Sammy battled back in the ring. And so Guevara hit a wicked stepsister on Spears in the corner chair and a 630 senton to nab the win.
So yeah, they gave, because he took the loss last year, right? His team was doing great, Sammy I'm talking about, and he
right,
ended up...
he did.
He took the one-winged angel through the... I watched all this on... The reason I sound like I remember stuff is because they talked about a lot of this on the buy-in, right? That you weren't watching, so I got a nice recap of...
Oh, I thought you watched it.
So I think that's what I kind of felt, that they were going to give Sammy his win back here, and they did this year. I thought this was good enough. I laughed at some parts, but this year the laughs were different. Last year it came from stuff that they were... It's hard to explain.
Like, they...
This was
I
like,
think
I laughed at
it.
Like, because he got hit really hard with the garbage can or whatever,
bottles
right?
Or bottles or...
Where it wasn't such a clever... I found it was a lot more clever last year.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere near as entertaining as the first version of this match.
Yeah.
I found the Inner Circle entrance lame, like trying too hard right off the bat. But the rest of it was fun enough. Nowhere near my favorite match on this show. I don't think, like I said, it's going to stay with me like last year's did. I remember stuff from last year. I probably won't remember stuff from this. On top of that...
You remember stuff. You watched the buy-in.
I'm proud of myself.
You remember the buy-in.
Well, I do remember
no,
some
I know.
Of those spots regardless.
I know. I'm just kidding.
On top of that, as I feared, the win or disband stipulation they put on this telegraphed the result, right?
Right.
That's what I said
as
soon as they did that.
I said this like they... I knew they were going to win. I knew that...
Well,
I
listened
think
to a ton
have.
Of stuff that was like, oh, yeah, I think this is it for Inner Circle. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
I think
about?
This should be it or no. it should have been it.
No. There's no way they're doing it yet.
Yeah, I know. I think it should have been.
So to be honest, I liked the match, but I thought it was kind of an anticlimactic end to the show because this show had three or four matches I liked significantly more than this.
It really started off, like, at the beginning, it felt like, damn, this is, like, crazy, you know?
To be fair, I may have been tired by this point, right, and not enjoying it as much as I could have. I wanted to like this more than I did. I don't think it was bad, but I don't think it was great either. What did you think?
I thought this was great. It was pretty entertaining. My favorite chunk was probably the nightclub chunk, and I thought Cash whipping beer bottles and stuff at Ortiz, that's just really funny. And, like, actually Ortiz taking it, too. It was overall good and entertaining. It was just missing something that the first Stadium Stampede had. Maybe just, like you said, that clever comedy. Or just, like, maybe just the it actually felt like a tag match. Like, like the stuff is actually intertwined.
Yeah, this was, like, four or five individual matches.
Or, like, I even remember Omega was in the bar. Because I remember he had, like, milk, I think, or whatever, right?
Yes.
With Hangman. And, like, it wasn't always just these guys paired off like it was here, like I already mentioned. But, like, different guys, I think, paired off at different times, right? And I don't know. This one just felt like they all went and did their separate things. Whereas,
they did,
like,
right away.
The last one just felt like they did that as well, but they also were still intertwined. And, like, it felt more like a match, kind of, in my opinion. And I found the first one a little more entertaining, too. I don't think they should have gone into Daly's place at the end, because I think the whole point is they fight in the stadium. I know they're allowed to, like, go around the stadium and whatnot, and Daly's place is kind
right
of attached,
yep.
But I preferred in the stadium, I guess, because their fans were there, they wanted to kind of incorporate that. But,
right.
Good and entertaining, just not as much as the first one.
Right. So overall thoughts on this pay-per-view? I thought this was a really entertaining show. I thought that there were five really strong matches on the card. The Page Cage opener, Buck, Mox, and Kingston, which I think was probably my match of the night. I'd have to think a little more deeply, but I think so.
The triple threat may give it a bit of a run for its money, but I think either one of those matches, I wouldn't blame you for picking. Like,
yep. Omega Pack Cassidy main event, Deeb Riho buy-in match, and the Baker Shida match. The worst match of the night, I thought, was easily Cody Agogo.
For sure.
And the three remaining ones, the Miro, Archer, Sting, and Stadium Stampede, I thought that were at least passable to good. So
agreed.
There was nothing, like, Cody Agogo, I couldn't have cared less. I don't, maybe it wasn't bad, but I didn't like it. But everything else, I at least liked it. So I think they delivered another quality pay-per-view here that kept me pretty entertained for throughout 4 hours, basically, right? That'd be my only criticism. Cut a match, Cody or Sting match, maybe a couple packages along the way. Trim, like, half hour to 45 minutes off this, and I'd be thrilled. Pandemic WWE pay-per-views have all been under 3 hours, I think, which I'm loving. But anyways, quality stuff, so I can't complain too much. I'm going to give this pay-per-view an A-. I would highly recommend it to people, especially a few of those matches that we talked about along the way. So a very entertaining pay-per-view. Not, I didn't feel like I wasted my money or my time, so I gave it an A-. What about you?
Mm-hmm. Overall, great pay-per-view. I thought the opener was perfect. Hangman Cage, that was. Tag match is even better and one of the best, if not the best match of the night, I think. That and the triple threat are interchangeable. Both were awesome.
Yep.
Casino Bar Roll was fine, but kind of lacked action and some creative eliminations. Cody and Agogo was boring and basic and easily worst match of the night. Baker versus Shida was stellar, but I feel like despite being good, they could have gone a little better. The tag match, the non-title one, was fine, but the result was horribly wrong. The three-way match is great. I hope we see more major titles defended in multi-person matches if they end up like this one. Like, if this is what we're getting from these multi-man matches, then sign me up for
more.
They
don't bother me anyway.
Right.
Some people don't like them, but I generally do.
I think it depends.
Yeah.
I think, especially in WWE, it depends on the field.
Yeah, I don't... But some people are like, as soon as they hear it's a triple threat, like, oh my god. I don't know. I'm open to them.
I don't know. Usually I'm in roster. I'm kind of skeptical because they tend to do,
well,
like,
I'm skeptical of
taking
everything,
turns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Stampede was good and entertaining, although the first is better, which I think makes this one seem not good, but I think this one was good.
I don't think it was bad.
I think it's just really, I don't know if it's unfair, but, like, just really hard to compare those because it just makes this one seem so much worse, but this one was still good.
Yep.
Overall, an awesome pay-per-view and totally worth buying, even though I didn't pay at all. But
true.
I think it's worth your money, right? I think
and
a definite A-.
Like, I justify it to your mother. Like, we get a ton of enjoyment out of this company over the year. We now do a podcast where we talk about it. They only do 4 pay-per-views a year, right?
Right.
So it's not like
not only are they better consistently than WWE's, but I think they're also they don't come by as much.
No, that's what
they
I mean.
They even come by less than takeovers, which are only by 1 pay-per-view, but like which are pretty rare as well. Great stuff. And notice this compared to our bonus episode on WWE's last pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think it was about a B or something, right? So
yeah,
somewhere in that range.
And that one also had a match with zombies.
So we need to revisit our predictions before we go.
We'll do that. So first, the Casino
I think,
Royal.
I mean, we can just agree I'm a genius.
No, you won by 1 pick.
Sorry, what was the first 2 words of that? You won.
By one. By one.
Okay, carry on.
The smallest possible difference.
Casino
Battle Royal, you won. Wait, neither of us got that, actually.
But if somebody were to be closer.
That does not matter. Plus, your guy cheated. He was
I took Christian
side.
Cage, who was in first.
The Joker.
And made it to almost the end.
No, he was in the first of 4.
And you took the Joker, who came in last and was in for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but Cage also sat on the outside on his lazy butt.
That's a win for me.
No, it's not.
Carry on.
Casino Battle Royal, the Joker entrance. We didn't get that.
Nobody
at all.
Got anything there.
Hangman versus Cage.
Both of us.
We both got Page. That's 1-1. Sting and Darby, we both picked 2-2.
2-2.
Cody,
3-3.
Go-Go, which is 3-3. 4-4 for picking Miro.
I picked everything, is all you need to know, people.
No, you didn't.
Other than the Battle Royal, whatever.
Hikaru Shida, Baker, we both picked Baker.
Next one?
The tag title match, you
go
got
ahead.
That one.
Talk about it. I got it right, and you?
Got
you
wrong.
Did not get it right, so I win.
You brag like this.
Stadium
and
Stampede.
You don't like it when I brag.
Stadium Stampede, we
you
both got
like
right.
You don't like it when I brag. And then we both got Omega right. So you won by the... like I said about the weigh-in, won the smallest possible
Another
difference.
Another dominant victory, I'll take it.
Dominant?
Yep,
okay.
Crushed you.
No.
But anyways, that's going to bring us to the end of this review because I want to move on with my day. So thank you for joining us again.
It's
I've done
9 o'clock.
I've done 2 podcasts today, so I'm
check out the Ring of Honor. Honor, if you're interested.
Ring of Honor 506. I published a couple hours before this and then found some more time.
And if you haven't checked it already, what was our most recent one? 45?
Yep, 45 was we released on Saturday.
And 46 coming up this Saturday.
Yep, we'll be back on Saturday again to put out episode 46. So join us then. And until then, thanks for joining us and we'll see you then. So take care.